From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The CEOs of the four big tech companies attended a digital hearing on Wednesday, appearing together for the first time in front of lawmakers. Sundar Pichai of Google, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, and Tim Cook of Apple attempted to make the case that they are not monopolies. Fearful of any government regulation, the CEOs claimed that they face stiff competition from other companies. Tech corporations, in addition to increasingly setting their own terms for peer-to-peer communication, advertising, and retail markets, face opposition from both the left and the right, not always for the same reasons. My guest is Jessica Gonzalez, co-CEO of Free Press and co-founder of Change the Terms, an organization dedicated to reducing hate in tech. Welcome to the program, Jessica.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
So, of course, these are four very different corporations that play roles in different ways. And for the purposes of our conversation, I definitely want to focus on social media, Facebook in particular, and Google. Those tech companies that control information, control how we see information, how we view it, because that's a huge part of the conversation today. We saw on Wednesday's hearing Republican Representative Jim Jordan go after these companies for, in his mind, having an anti-conservative bias. How do you view, and this is something that is, of course, Trump, a favorite line of President Trump's, of his son Trump Jr., who claim continuously that tech companies have an anti-conservative bias. What do you say to that?
Well, one look no further than Jim Jordan's conduct in that meeting, where he could not stop talking over the female members of Congress, to understand that this person has it wrong when it comes to a lot of things. And he's certainly wrong about conservative bias. Look, this is a red herring. We hear this time and again. But ironically, during the hearing on Wednesday, we saw from research from our friends at Media Matters that showed the top trending topics on Facebook, almost all of which were conservative figures. We see time and again that there's just simply no evidence that there is any conservative bias on content moderation. And what we see instead is actually Facebook and Google, as harmful as they are, and I don't want to understate the harms that they're posing to society, but they are actually taking down disinformation about the coronavirus, efforts to suppress the vote here in the US, and hate. And I don't think they're doing a good enough job at that, but I think it's a critically important function that they ought to be doing more of. They have to be held responsible for spreading hate and disinformation. And the Republicans, in large part, are using the conservative bias red herring to distract from that fact.
It's quite interesting to see that on the face of it, it sounds plausible to say, well, there's conservatives, there's liberals, but the conservatives are the ones that are getting their content taken down more. And you can see how making that argument, especially to a conservative audience, sounds convincing. But if you cast it in terms of misinformation, hate speech, you know, just straight out fake news, propaganda, doctored videos, and doctored memes, then you could really see that tech companies are having an anti-fake news bias or an anti-hate bias, which we want them to have. But in fact, that bias doesn't even go far enough, right? They don't even go far enough to remove hate speech and to remove fake news and misinformation, particularly when it comes to Trump, who time after time, especially on Twitter, he is the exception to the rule. And of course, Twitter founder and CEO Jack Dorsey wasn't part of the hearing, but it seems as though these companies are doing the public a disservice by allowing so much conservative misinformation and hate speech to stand.
That's right. And you know what's really interesting, Sonali, is that the public is with us. There was a poll that was conducted last week by Accountable Tech and GQR on public opinion about Facebook. It polled conservatives, Democrats, independents, people of all political affiliations. And what it found is that actually 67% of American voters believe that white supremacist content, disinformation, and voter suppression and conspiracy theories ought to be taken down. And so this wasn't a uniquely Democratic or liberal view. It was across the board. The vast majority of people believe that that content has no place on Facebook. This is not a partisan issue. We have Donald Trump, who loves to trade in hate, who scapegoated his way to the 2016 election victory, if we can call it that. And frankly, that is not what conservatism, you know, a lot of conservatives, they don't think that's what conservatism stands for. Taking down hate and disinformation should be a bipartisan or a nonpartisan endeavor.
So let's talk about the fact that the hearing itself centered on the issue of monopolies and the enforcement of antitrust laws. Unfortunately, the federal government has not enforced antitrust laws on any businesses in many, many decades. But one could make a very clear argument about companies like Amazon or like Facebook being such behemoths now that they effectively have monopolies. Where does the monopoly argument fit within the discourse around controlling the spread of misinformation and hate speech?
I think it's a great question, because the very fact that they have so much power seems to have meant that they are less accountable to civil rights and racial justice groups who have been raising our concerns about the rampant spread of hate and disinformation on Facebook, for instance, for some time. So recently, I was a part of the Stop Hate for Profit campaign, which asked major advertisers to pause their advertisements on Facebook for the month of July. We got over 1,100 advertisers to sign up, including huge brands like Unilever and Verizon, Coca-Cola, and Disney. And Mark Zuckerberg's response was, they'll be back, and that he wasn't going to cave to pressure to stop hate and disinformation on his site. And that was a really interesting moment for me. It really made me think about how powerful this company is, that it did not feel the need to respond to a massive advertiser pause and to a day where they took an 8% dip on the stock market and lost $56 billion in market capitalization. It's just incredible to me how these behemoths move, and how big they are and powerful they are, and how that gives them cover for a lack of accountability to communities and to civil rights and racial justice leaders. And Facebook's not the only one. Jeff Bezos was particularly bad at the hearing on Wednesday, and he has been facing demands for some time on a number of issues, including labor issues, including how he serves the surveillance state and aids ICE and other agencies that are terrorizing our communities. And there's just no sense of accountability. And I think that that is due to a number of factors, certainly. And I think antitrust isn't the only solution that we need to be looking at here. But I think the power of these companies is a real factor in how they get to move in the world.
Mark Zuckerberg was confronted about internal emails and internal correspondence around Facebook's acquisition of other companies like WhatsApp, which is, of course, a texting app, but also Instagram, another social media platform. And, you know, one could say, I suppose he, you know, might have tried to make the case that that he faces competition because if people don't like Facebook's terms, they could use another social media app, except that Facebook owns Instagram. Perhaps the only competition it faces is from Twitter. So that's not very much competition.
No, it's not. I mean, the other thing that we learned in the ad boycott is that there were tons and tons of small and medium-sized businesses that make up the bulk of Facebook advertisers that stand with us that were very concerned about their advertisements running next to hateful or content or disinformation, but they really didn't feel that they could stop advertising on Facebook and that it would have a definite impact on their business and their livelihoods.
So when we think about the big fears of these CEOs, some have speculated that the fact that they agreed to attend a hearing altogether was because there is a real fear of government regulation. Now, of course, the conservatives in government want to regulate Facebook and some of these big tech companies in a way that allows them to run rampant with misinformation and hate. But there is a real need for regulation from the other end, which is the more rational approach to regulation, right? And that is forcing these companies to adhere to basic standards around, protecting free speech, but also preventing hate speech and preventing misinformation. Election interference is a particularly big issue as well. So, is there any of that being considered by members of Congress?
I think Facebook in particular, but all these companies are under a global microscope, and there are some limits to what legislation can look like in the United States because of the way the First Amendment has been interpreted by the court. But, the EU is looking at this, the UK is looking at this, and governments around the world are examining how Facebook is moving, how it's failing to protect its users from hate, from disinformation, from election interference and voter suppression. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see new legislation and new regulations coming, not just around the world, but here in the United States. We need to be talking about competition. We need to be talking about privacy. We need to be talking about safety and health and how these platforms are undermining those important values.
Amazon CEO and Facebook CEO, we've already talked about, but what about Google? Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, was there. Google is also, really quite a monopoly. I mean, the word Google itself has just become a verb now, right? We don't talk about using a search engine. We talk about Googling information. This is also a company that relies heavily on advertising and a company that is so large that it may feel that it can simply write out any criticisms. How did Sundar Pichai, how was he being held accountable at the hearing on Wednesday?
Well, I mean, he took quite a few questions. I think I really thought that the Democrats were well prepared and had their documents in front of them. I expect that they will continue with their investigation. And Google has a lot of control over search. It has a lot of control over the online advertising market. And I think all these questions about its power and its influence and its failure to be held accountable to the people are real significant and important questions. And because it also, Alphabet owns not just Google, but YouTube and many other sites. And YouTube in particular has been a really problematic site
Which
when it
Google
comes
owns
to,
YouTube, yeah.
that's right, that's right. When it comes to hate speech and white supremacists and running videos that trade in hoaxes and white supremacy.
The men that were gathered there, and of course they were all men together, also have just such a massive net worth. Jeff Bezos, of course, being the richest man in the world, they also represent this technocratic, socially liberal, supposedly, force in American society that uses the idea of free speech and fostering democracy to essentially do what their real agenda is, which is to make gobs and gobs of money, right? I mean, we need to remind ourselves that they're not in this to foster free speech and free exchange of ideas. They're here to make money. And if spreading hate makes them money, they don't have any problem with it. If spreading fake news and misinformation that leads to COVID conspiracies and hundreds of thousands of deaths makes them money, they don't care.
That's right. And let's even take them at their word that they support free expression, which I don't. I agree. They support themselves getting even richer, beyond anyone's wildest imagination. But let's say they do. Even if they do care about that, I think their analysis on free expression is very unsophisticated. We know that there are organized attempts to silence women, to silence people of color, to silence religious minorities by hating on us, by harassing us, by doxing us, and by essentially making it way too costly for us to speak our minds. My friend Brandi Collins Dexter from Color of Change put this in the best way I've ever heard anyone say it. Free speech has never been free for some of us. It's always been costly. And so when I met with Mark Zuckerberg last month, and when I see the tech CEOs talking about how much they care about free expression, I pushed him, and I will push them, that they are not protecting everyone's free expression when they allow organized hate and disinformation to run rampant on their sites. They're actually undermining it, and that we have gotten the balance horribly wrong, and that they cannot conveniently lean back on free expression to excuse themselves from accountability on how their platforms are doing harm to people. And that's what they're doing here, plain and simple.
So I want to pick up on what you were just saying, that women and people of color often are targeted. We've had in this last several months a massive national uprising around the Black Lives Matter movement against racist police violence. And we've also seen time and again, at least anecdotal evidence of Black activists online being censored, you know, put into what's called Facebook jail for speaking out, or, you know, even non-Black Facebook users posting about Black Lives Matter. This is, you know, at a time when the majority of the American public actually supports the Black Lives Matter movement, and Facebook's own employees have challenged Zuckerberg around his hypocrisy on the issue. Are these tech CEOs completely out of touch with the American public?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, they're definitely out of touch. And there was just a story.
And yet they control so much of our communication and the content that we view and share.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and we just saw research this week that showed that Black activists and people who speak out for Black lives are more likely to be put in Facebook jail or taken down or flagged than others. So there's definitely discriminatory algorithms in play. And that is part of the reason why the Change the Terms Coalition, we're not just calling for tech companies to ban hateful activities. We're calling for far more transparency than we have today about what they're doing with content moderation, who's getting taken down, and why. But we're also calling for really robust and easy to use rights of appeal, because a lot of the content is getting taken down by AI and machines, and it lacks the cultural competence and the context that you really need to figure out whether content violates the rules or not. And so we really think that any policy that takes down content based on hate or disinformation needs to be paired with transparency and process.
There is a sense that the hearing on Wednesday didn't really do much to challenge the CEOs. AP said that that while lawmakers battered the CEOs, they didn't land many blows. David Cicilline, a representative on the committee that was questioning them, accused the companies of being a bottleneck for a key channel of distribution. Were you just picking up on what you were saying earlier about the advertiser boycott for Facebook, you know, being something that Facebook felt that it could ride out? And it Zuckerberg may very well be correct in that assessment, just because it is such a behemoth that even 1,100 advertisers pulling out for a month was, you know, just a fly that he swatted away. Doesn't that lead to the obvious question of boycotts are not going to work on these companies, that we have to have the hammer of government regulation come down and force them to do what they need to do? You know, this, of course, flies in the face of the free market fundamentalists who think that any government regulation is an affront to freedom. But government regulation is the only thing, I think, that would constrain these CEOs and their companies.
I think we absolutely need regulation and legislation to deal with the power and the lack of accountability from tech companies. I guess I take a more positive view on boycotts. We may not have achieved all of our goals. We did get a couple of concessions out of Facebook, and we saw some downward pressure on Twitter and Reddit, who made some significant policy changes in the past month or so. I think you're right that we do need the hammer. But I have been impressed with the way that boycott in particular has inspired a public dialogue about hate and disinformation and has brought people into a more complex and nuanced understanding of how free expression and power and historical oppression operate together. And so for that, I think the boycott was very valuable. But at the end of the day, if we don't see more response from Facebook, I think, you know, and even if we do, these are multi-layered problems that we're facing with these big tech companies, and we have to have multi-layered solutions. So we're going to continue to ramp up public pressure, and we're going to continue to call for regulations and legislation too.
Do you worry that members of Congress are not quite up to the task of holding these men accountable? Because let's face it, the average age of congressional lawmakers is fairly high, even though there were some younger lawmakers at the hearing. And they may not wrap their heads around how some of these algorithms work. Even those among us who are younger, savvier with tech, have a hard time wrapping our heads around it. I mean, unless you are a computer scientist who really understands the algorithms, understands how Facebook works or Amazon, you know, creates their monopoly, it is fairly difficult to have the expertise required to hold them accountable. Are they working with the right consultants?
You know, like any big industry, big tech is well-heeled. We're up against a massive lobbying arm, just as we've been up against them, against telecom, against other
big tobacco and fossil fuel companies,
big oil, all those. They're right up there with them. And so I don't know that this set of issues is, you know, all that different, frankly. I think they have aides and folks who are giving good advice, and that they can get to the heart of this. Like they need not understand every in and out of algorithms. They need to understand markets, and they do have people up there who understand markets and how they work.
Jessica, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post links to Free Press and Change the Terms websites from our site later today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sonali.
My guest has been Jessica Gonzalez, co-CEO of Free Press and co-founder of Change the Terms, an organization dedicated to reducing hate in tech. We've been discussing how the big four tech CEOs defended themselves at this week's congressional hearing. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.